Good morning. My name's Chad. I'm one of the pastors. I know we have a lot of visitors with us today, and so I just wanted a chance, if I didn't get to say hi to you, welcome. Please, we are blessed that you're here. Ben, thank you for coming and worshiping with us, especially today. You are our honored guest for sure. Just going to throw this statement out. If you want to turn to your Bible, Psalm 24, we're going to work on this one premise today. And this premise is everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Where we get this from, if you look at Psalm 24, take a look at the first two verses. It goes like this: the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It could say, and everything that fills it. Is actually, you could translate it that, but it doesn't flow real well in English. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. There are so many passages throughout the scriptures that really just get to the whole point of this. Everything belongs to God. One of my favorite theologians to listen to is R.C. Sproul. And he put it this way: there is not a single rogue molecule, not a single atom out there that is not under the authority and the possession of God. That God being a creator. And John chapter 1 goes a long way to tell us what Jesus' role in creation, right? He was there in the beginning, and everything that has been created was created through Christ, through the Word, the power of God's Word, right? And so because he created it all, he owns it all. It belongs to him. Because he created it all, he has got authority over it. So everything, every molecule in this universe is under God's sovereignty. And God is powerful, and God is all-knowing, and he's all-moving. And we talked about this Wednesday night. Our security in Jesus Christ is that we have been given to Jesus by the Father. Even we belong to God. Not a single rogue molecule in this universe. They all fall under the possession and the ownership and the authority and the sovereignty of God. That principle, that everything belongs to God, is going to play out as we close our series. If you're joining us this week, what we've been doing the last 5 weeks is we've been sharing as a people here in Mauganville who we want to become. We're looking at the vision that we laid out 2 years ago when we sat down and prayerfully in the leadership and the pastor team. We said, okay, who does God want us to be when we grow up? And let's create a plan to be used by God and molded to get there. And we're 2 years into it. And so we've taken this break and we've said, how's it gone? Where are we? What do we need to adjust? What has God done? What is God calling us to? And we've looked at our core values. We've talked about authentic worship, which means that we want to be the kind of people that recognize God as he's revealed himself and respond with extravagant devotion. We've talked that radical disciples are those who spend time together, vulnerably, becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. And when there's conflict, we grow in it. We have talked that we want to ascribe to uncomfortable outreach. That when we don't have security, in the pain and the discomfort of not being in control, when we yield to God, that God uses and shapes us as we reach people that we've never met and wouldn't have met. That we're intentional missionaries, that God is sovereign and provident and all the things we talked about a few minutes ago. And so if I run into somebody, it means God wanted me to run into them. And my purpose in life is to make the invisible God known. Well, the last of the characteristics I want to talk about today is faithful stewardship. Faithful stewardship, and it hinges on that principle: everything belongs to God. So you've probably heard stewardship before. Some churches, if you visited, sometimes they have stewardship campaigns where they want to get people to commit to partner financially with the church. And often in a church, unfortunately, sometimes our focus and stewardship has to do with finances, and I'm hoping that we can unplug that a little bit today. Stewardship at its most basic level is this. If everything belongs to God, stewardship is managing God's resources, right? So if everything belongs to God, if your car and your home and your bank account and the food in your pantry, if they all belong to God, well, then you're just a manager of them. You're the one that's making the day-to-day decisions on how to use those resources. But it's not just things. It's also people. It's also talents that God's given you and skills. If God is the owner of everything, if everything belongs to God, that includes you and me. And so God, if he's equipped us and made us and molded us and transformed us, as he's given us particular skills, well, they're gifts of him that belong to the people that belong to him. And man, if he made you a carpenter, that's his gift. You're just a manager of that skill. If you can work computers, that's a skill God gave you, and he gave you that to manage and to use. And what we want to do is we want to see that first stewardship is just simply this. We acknowledge everything belongs to God, including each other. And that if we have any kind of decision-making over it, then we're just a manager of it, not the owner. That's pretty basic. Most churches would all agree with us on this. That's a good understanding of stewardship. What is we're striving for in Mauginsville to make it unique is we're adding the descriptor, it's faithful stewardship. And so I want to take a look at the differences. When is stewardship faithful? What is faithful stewardship? And I want to throw these things in. That faithful stewardship is trusting and finding contentment or satisfaction in God while managing God's resources of time, talent, and treasures. And the difference is this: start with this trusting and this finding satisfaction. You can be a good manager of something and not trust the owner of it. If somebody lets you borrow their leaf blower, you can take really good care of that leaf blower, right? And man, I can actually say, Joe Rose from Catawissa was like the best person to lend a tool to, okay? Because you would give him a greasy wrench, and it would come back shiny new, and you're like, what'd you do with mine, and why'd you go buy a new one? Like, Joe would take something, and it would come back clean. You're like, Joe, do you want to borrow my car today? You know, Joe, do you need to sleep in the kid's bedroom today? Because can you clean these things up in return? Joe was a phenomenal steward of other people's things. But it doesn't mean he trusted me, right? There's a difference between trusting in somebody, in this case, trusting in God. There's a difference between just being a good good manager and a manager who is trusting in God and finding satisfaction. It is a hard thing for us to do, church, to trust in God. It was the first time we rebelled as humanity against God. In the garden, God says, I am going to give you everything you need, Adam and Eve. You've got a self-watering garden. There's no thorns or thistles or weeds yet. You don't have to worry about blight. Man, the trees will just give you the food you need. The only thing you have to do is trust that the decisions I make for you and what I've given you is best. You just have to trust me and let me be God. That worked until Adam and Eve went, well, we think we can make better decisions for ourselves. We don't trust you, God, to be the best God. We want the control. And they disobeyed God, and then sin and death come into the world, and chaos. God just ordered chaos, and then chaos ensues again. And for those, when we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, he brings order back into our life. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, the first thing you're doing is you're saying, God, I trust you to be God again, and I'm going to trust you to make the best decisions for me again, and I'm going to trust that the provision you've given me is exactly what I need. I'm going to yield my desires and what I want for me over to the God who knows what's best for me. And that includes our stuff. That includes our time. And that includes our talents. Trusting God when it comes to stewardship is looking at God and going, these are your resources, Lord. So I can hand you back this day you've given me. I can give you these 2 hours of worship and this hour tonight for Bible study. I can yield my whole day over to being used by you, Lord, to bring you glory and honor. Because I trust what's best is known by you and directed by you. Because there's not a molecule in this universe that you don't own and have control over. So I'm going to trust in that, God. God, I've got this $20, and it sure would be nice to hold on to that until tomorrow. Because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I'm going to yield this over thankfully. And by me doing that, what I'm saying is, God, I'm giving it to you, it belonged to you, it was yours from the beginning. And the big step of faith is, and I'm going to trust you to provide for me tomorrow. Why do you think God wanted the first fruits, the firstborn of the flock, the best of the flock, the spotless lamb? He wants his people to look and say, reverse the curse. You trusted yourself, now trust me. You give me the best of what you have, because if you give it to me, you don't have it. Now you got to trust me. Trust me with the best of what you've got. And so we look at God, and part of this is when we yield the talents and the time and the treasures over to God, we're saying, God, first of all, we trust that you're in control, and we trust that everything we have has been given to us by you, and we're going to trust that you're going to continue to provide for our needs. But church, I want to even push it a little further. I don't want us to just trust God. I want us to be marked by a people who find satisfaction in God. People who are content, who understand that when God says do not covet, it's not about jealousy. It's about us looking and going, I know I don't know best what's best for me, and I know God does. So if he gave Pastor Mike the gift of good looks, I'm not going to be upset about that. I'll take the gift of being able to pick up heavy things, right? Love you, brother. Finding satisfaction of God is this idea of knowing that our God who controls everything and everything belongs to him is knowing then if he wants what's best for me and he has everything in his disposable and he has all power, then I have exactly what I'm supposed to. And the most important thing I have, it's not material, but it's a right relationship with the God who created me. And it's a God who knows me best, and he knows if I had the desires of my heart, I would probably be a mess. Think about it. Think about the things, when you've all played it, maybe you could say before Jesus, that's fine, but when you thought, well, if I hit the lottery, what would I do with it, right? Thank goodness we didn't hit the lottery. Because God didn't want us to have those things. He gave us exactly what's best for us. And he would never put us in a position to fail spiritually. And that's what we need the most. And that's where we find our satisfaction. The thing that we need most is to have a right relationship with God the Father. And he says, I have given you absolutely everything you need to be in a position to trust me, to trust that my son Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose from the grave, ascended back into the throne room. And if you trust me and you trust him, then you and I are friends again, and you have everything you need. Satisfaction. It's not just about trusting God. Stewardship's not just about trusting God, but it's finding our satisfaction in God. It's not finding our satisfaction in huge televisions. It's not finding our satisfaction in 5,000-foot square houses. It's not finding our satisfaction in shiny things or relationships. It's finding our satisfaction in God and knowing that He wants what's best for us. So I am content. Faithful stewardship is trusting and finding satisfaction in God while managing God's resources of time. You have another day on this earth. We have several brothers and sisters right now who are mourning the loss of family. The reality of death is in this room today. But you are alive. God has said one more day at least to you. One more chance to bring me glory. One more chance to let your neighbors and your family see my glory because I'm expressing it through you because I created you in my image and I redeemed you and conformed you back to that image. Today you have one more day that God has given you. What will you do with it? Will you trust and find your satisfaction in God? Or long for what you don't have. Or have a day that just lays out your own personal will. Stewardship is not just finances, gang. Stewardship is about recognizing that God is the one who says when you're born and when you die. And He's got a plan for you every moment in between. And as long as you're breathing, He can use you. Will you yield yourself and will you be a good steward of your time? And say, God, mold my desires. Make me be like you. Will you be a good steward of your time? This is the one Pastor Chad fails at, gang. Many of you have seen, I like to walk my kids to school when it's not frigid. But I also like to get a lot done during the day. So I know that if I leave the school and if I drop them off when the bell rings, that I will get back to the church maybe at 8:15. If Randy Henry doesn't stop me because he's working somewhere and he wants to talk. If Jimmy Holsinger doesn't pull up to me on his way to work and ask me what's going on. If one of the many relatives I have in Mogginsville doesn't stop me along the way just to check in. If Mr. Kaplan doesn't say, Chad, I need you to pray for me. If my neighbor who just had a baby doesn't go, Chad, you want to see the baby? If by the time I get in the car, I don't have two or three other phone calls. See, I'm selfish with my time, gang. We need to be good stewards of our time and realize that it is not about our will, that the provident sovereign God put Jimmy Holsinger at that four-way stop just when I'm walking by because that man is about to go and be a law enforcement officer for the rest of the day and somebody ought to pray with him. Because Mr. Henry's a brother in Christ who took me to church when he didn't have to. I just need to be grateful and thank him. Because Mr. Kaplan right now doesn't have a church. And I am his pastor. Because our God orchestrates all of this. And we are intentional missionaries. Every day is an opportunity to yield ourselves over. To be trusting and satisfied fully in God. And to use that day for His glory. And your talents, gang. Don't keep them to yourself. What makes you happy? What hobbies do you do? If you had a free day, what would you do? And most of the time, the things that get us most excited, the things that we tend to excel at, those are talents from God that He wants to use. He wants us to use. He's going to use them in us for His glory. What are the unique gifts that you have? What are the things that get you fired up? And how are you using them in the kingdom? What are the special skills that God created you and recreated you in His image that He equipped you with? That He's going to look at you and go, cool, provide for your families and then provide for the kingdom. Use this job as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. Use this skill to go and to help and rebuild after disasters. Use this particular communication so that you might be a teacher. Use this talent because somebody in the kingdom needs it. Do we understand? Do you find your joy? Men, we struggle with this. This is why we are not good at retiring. We're not good at retiring, are we, men? You know why? Because we tie up our identity with what we do. But if we trusted God and yielded to Him and found our satisfaction in Him, what we would say is, okay, God, in retirement, I'm still yours and I'm still being used by you. My identity is not being a plumber or a doctor or a pastor or whatever I might be. My identity is a redeemed child of God, equipped to forward the kingdom of God. The way God has made you and the talents He's given you, be good stewards of those. Look at your to-do list. What on that list could be replicated for the glory of God? What task can you do around your house that God can use for His honor and glory? What skill set do you have at work that could forward the kingdom? Where do you get excited that God can use that passion to unleash His character and show the world who He is? And then gang, our treasures. You know, churches, we share and we share and we share with you, right? I just want to say, you're a very generous church. The giving is phenomenal. But I want to take you back a couple years ago. A couple of our leaders may remember being in a boardroom, and sometimes as a pastor, you get to be nice and friendly and happy and shake people's hand and tell them you love them and you're proud of them. Sometimes as a pastor, you got to hold that plumb line up of the word. I remember being in a meeting early here in my tenure, and I remember looking at this phenomenal campus and how often the lights were off. And I remember what came, God just laid it in my head, and we talked about this, that the parable where Jesus says that He had given an investment into somebody and they put in a handkerchief and He buried it. And he was like, I was worried it might, you know, I didn't know, Master, you're kind of tough. And I thought if I lost any of it, we'd be in trouble. And I remember challenging our leaders, and they received it gracefully. They were great. They're like, yeah, let's do it. Part of the vision process was going, we got a phenomenal building. It's not ours. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. We're just the one that makes decisions about it on earth. Let's change our decision-making policy. Let's release this to the community. The lights hardly go off now. But look at how God has blessed this congregation. Honestly, and I don't say this as an exaggeration, but Sunday's about the fifth busiest day at the church. And it's awesome. Because we are managing this treasure of a building, I believe well. Because we are trusting in our God and finding satisfaction in Him and not a perfectly pristine kept facility, but trusting in a God who wants to use us to redeem and deliver this community, we have invited the community in. And it has been phenomenal. Look at the relationships we've built. How many of you standing or sitting, I'm the only one standing, how many of you sitting today are here because of an upward program, are here because of what we've let the baseball program use the building, because we've got an NA program, because we've opened it up and we've let the junior hubs have meeting, because Washington County Public School System comes in here and does competitions, because Grace Academy does their fine arts competition in here. Man, I'm forgetting them all. I could go the whole way down a list. We have said this is God's building, not Morgansville's. Let's manage it well. And let's trust in God. And let's find our satisfaction in Him. And watch what He does when we get out of the way. In church, 2 years later, I can say, we got out of the way on the building. Look at what He did. It's cool. It's awesome. Our God is so good. Don't you dare sit on your laurels, though. We have not become who God wants us to be. We still need to continue to push forward in our trusting of Him. We still need to continue to push forward in finding our satisfaction in God, not in ministries we lead, but in God. Our satisfaction not in what we have, but who God has made us to be in Him. We still need to work on that satisfaction thing. We still need to work on that trusting thing. But it sure is good to look back and see God's activity. And so as we end this whole series, I want to think of Samuel, who, when Israelites, after losing the ark and getting it back, when they defeat the Philistines because they trust God, first time they don't trust God, boom, they lose the Ark of the Covenant. Next time they trust God, they defeat the Philistines. And Samuel takes and he makes this altar, and he calls it Ebenezer. And he says, up until now, God has been with us. But it is not a completed verb, meaning it's got this idea of present and future tense to it. Meaning it's a reminder that that memorial was a reminder that the only reason we're here now is because of God. And as we go forward, the only reason we go forward is because of God. And He is the security of our future. He's our provider. And He's our protector. So as we stand here, as we look back and we go, thank you, God, let it be an Ebenezer moment for us. Not to stop, sit down, and go, we made it. But to be a reminder that God has been doing something amazing in this community for years. And if He did it, there's no indication He is going to stop. And as we move forward into this vision of becoming a community that reflects God's character, so that people are led to the truth, transformed by the Spirit, and fall in love with Jesus Christ. As we live into this vision, let us remember, it is God who got us here. It is God who's with us, and it is God who takes us forward for His glory. Amen? Let's pray.